first of all, Parsha Zohar, it's difficult because Parsha Zohar is very few, there's a lot of subjects, but the psukim are somewhat straightforward, but some of the psukim have little bits of questions within them. Look at this one, for example. Chaf Hei Lamed Hei. When your brother becomes poor, Mati Yadu Imach, and his hand goes down with you. In other words, he just isn't doing it. He's just making it. Zaktsavo, you should strengthen him. Ger V'Soshav, whether he's a ger or a soshav, a ger toshav. V'Chayimach, and he should live together with you. In other words, make sure that he survives. Make sure that he has enough tzedakah. Make sure that he's okay. That's going to be there. Oh, I'll get you one. Don't worry. I'll get you one. No, that's V'Chayimach. V'Chayimach. That's the first one. But then the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Vav. It says, Al tikach meito nesho v'sabis. Do not give him ribbis. Be afraid of your God. V'chei achicha imach. And then your brother should live with you. Look, first pasuk says, V'chai imach. And the second pasuk says, V'chei. And then it adds on the word achicha imach. And it's one pasuk after the other. So what's the added idea here? What's the pasuk trying to tell you that your brother should live with you? What does that mean? So the Chafetz Chaim says it's a bit of a warning. If you're willing to give the poor man money and allow him to live like you, to allow him, he's going to be imach, to live with you, then everything's going to be good. And if not, if you won't give him money, then Hashem will make sure that you live like him. In one way or another, you guys will be together. Either you're going to be like him or he's going to be like you. And it's your choice by deciding what's going to be over here. The Shach says, since the poor person is actually helping you defeat your Yetzirah, want to give to other people, to give up of your hard-earned money to give to other people, therefore the word imach applies perfectly. He worked with you. He helped you become the person that you became. That's the concept of where the imach comes from over here. Chassam Sofer says, this is a hint. Now, I know not everybody here is a big Navi guy. Eddie? Not, especially not you. I know. I know. But there are people who know Navi. For those who know Navi, you're okay with this. Yeah, I know. You're okay. The Chassam Sofer says that there was a time when Bnei Yisrael were plagued because of what they did to Gerim. Does anybody have any idea what this is referring to? They were plagued. A plague happened to Klal Yisrael because of what they did to Gerim. Wasn't everybody, but many people did. What? Very, very good. With who?
The Givonim.
The Givonim with those people. See, what happened was like this. The Givonim were people that were taken on by Yoshua. They fooled Yoshua and the Zakanim at the time to try to make them think that they were coming from a faraway land. They dressed up in this tatted, patched up clothing, and they wore all these worn out shoes, and they took all their stuff, and they came in moldy bread and wine flasks that looked like they were, you know, from years ago, and they came in and they told Bnei Yisrael, we're from far away, we came to say, you know, that we wanted to be part of your nation, and Yoshua allowed them to join the nation, and then realized that they were from close by. And the halacha was that anybody from the seven nations that lived in Eretz Canaan were not allowed to be allowed to live. After they didn't run away, after they didn't join the nation in the first place, they weren't allowed to be let live. Lo sechaya kol neshama. But they fooled Yoshua, joined them, and became the Givonim. Yoshua would not allow them to marry into Klal Yisrael. They were not allowed to become part of Klal Yisrael. But what they were is they became water carriers and wood choppers for the Mishkan. When the Mishkan was set up, they became the people in charge. When Nov, Ira Kohanim, was destroyed by Shaul HaMelech, when Shaul HaMelech took down the city of Nov, Ira Kohanim, these Givonim lost their job. They all became poor, they lost everything, and they were angry at Shaul HaMelech. And when that happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a plague happen. David HaMelech couldn't understand why this plague was happening. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's going on. He was told, it's because of the Givonim. Go ask the Givonim what they want. And he asked them, what do I need to do to placate you? He got an answer, and he ended up, everything was all good at the end of the day. Unfortunately, it took seven people to die, but everything worked out at the end of the day. Here's the idea, and it's a concept, such a crazy thing, says the Chassam Sofer. All of this is hinted to from right over here. The idea is, if the Gerim who are Toshavim amongst you, this is a reference to the Givonim, those Gerim that are living among you, when they don't get what they need from you, if they're not living with you, so to speak, then you're going to end up dying with them. And that's the idea, the same concept that the Chafetz Chaim gave, the Chai Imach. Either they will live with you, or unfortunately, you're going to die with them. It's one of the two. It's a scary idea, but that's the concept of where the plague came from, where it started from, says the Chassam Sofer. There's another idea. Turnus Rufus, who is the governor of Eretz Yisrael at one point, whatever Eretz Yisrael was called at the times of Rabbi Akiva. So Turnus Rufus used to get into fights with him all the time. In the end, Rabbi Akiva had the last laugh because he married his wife. But ex-wife, I should say. But Ternus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, tremendous question. He said, why did Hashem allow poor people to exist in this world? Why are there such poor people? It's a Medrash Rabbah. Why are there poor people in the world? Like, Kershbaruch could have given everybody everything. What's the point? And Rabbi Akiva answered him that it's an obvious answer. To be mezakeh the people who are giving tzedakah with the mitzvah of supporting those poor people. The poor people are not poor because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates them. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the wealthy people and wants to give them an extra schus, an extra mitzvah, by making them pay for those people over there. And that's the idea, says the Chasam Sofer. We have to look at it again as an opportunity that it's a mitzvah v'chayachicha imach, to give to your brother what you can get. What's up, Jake? That what? The poor people, not only are they, whatever it is. In a sense, every time that they take money from a wealthy person, they are being mekayim the opposite of litnei iver lo sitein michshol. They're allowing another Jew to be mekayim a mitzvah. Through them, more mitzvahs are being accomplished.
When they're taking that money, it's a shame for them.
The busha involved is something that obviously a Kaddish Baruch Hu felt that they should get. So that I can't answer. And I think, Jake, that's somewhat what you're answering.
But in addition to that, isn't it a mitzvah shaseh if someone's poor and needs help that he needs to go and get $100?
100%. And he ends up getting. So you're saying that there's a kapara involved in that as well. There's something else that you gain by doing it. That's the idea of the chayach yichayimah, that there's something being gained at both sides. So that's one way of looking at it. The chasam sofer and the way that the Chafetz Chaim looks at it, that's one way. And here we go. Bav mitziah daf samach beis. Bav mitziah samach beis. The Gemara brings down from this passage. It goes like this. There are two people that are walking in the desert. There is one flask of water. One guy has one flask of water. The kasha is like this. If he gives half of the water to himself and half of the water to his friend, then they'll both die before they come to a yeshuv where they'll get more water. If he drinks all of the water, then he'll be able to survive even though his friend is definitely going to die. What do you do? Do you both drink and both of you die? Or do you keep it for yourself, right, and let your friend die? Which one happens over here? So the Gemara says there's a machlokas. Ben Petura got up and said, both should drink and both should die so you don't watch the death of your friend. That's Ben Petura's psak. And Rabbi Akiva says, from this pasuk, v'chei achicha imach, that your brother should live with you, he said that no, chayecha kodmin l'chayecha berecha. V'chei achicha imach, you have to live, and then your brother can live. Your brother lives with you, but only when you're alive. You have to live in order for your friend to live. That's an amazing idea. But that's how Rabbi Akiva paskins. And therefore, no, just, I don't know what you do, push your friend to the side, and sort of like kick him while he's down. But keep the water for yourself, chug the entire thing right there, and you survive even though your friend is not going to be able to be there. The Chafetz Chaim said that when World War I was happening, where he said, obviously, Chayecha Kodmin, your life comes before anybody else's. But he said, a lot of people were keeping their money just in case. And he said that because there are so many people who were literally starving throughout Europe, and there were many people hoarding their money just in case, the Chafetz Chaim said, even though normally we say you're not allowed to give up more than a fifth of your earnings to give to tzedakah, he said at this time, this is where we say, yes, chayecha kodmin for the immediate future, but chayecha bercha kodmin for the future of what will be. You can't save and you have to give as much as you can to the others. And he said, based on this pasuk, that it only applies in certain situations and not when people are dying around you. So it's an interesting call. It's sort of like Rabbi Akiva, but not really like Rabbi Akiva. Keep the money that you need to immediately survive, but give out anything that might be needed for them to survive for longer. I'm sorry? I don't think he did. At least from the sefer that I looked at, he didn't draw a line. I'd like to know. I don't know. If we're dealing with a guy who has, let's say, $1,000 versus a guy with $10,000, you know, and you don't know what to do with your money, right? And again, it's a massive sakana for other people. What ends up being, I don't know, he didn't give it. I guess each one is an individual psak. But the Chasam Sofer says, he asks, what in the world does this have to do with ribbis? The pasuk is saying, don't give ribbis to your friend. And then, v'chei achicha imach. And from there, we darshan, if two people are in a desert, and you only have one flask of water, what in the world does that have anything to do with interest? Lending money with interest. What does that have anything to do with it? Chasam Sofer says something that's so amazing. And then, aside from that, how could Ben Petura say that you're supposed to die so that you don't watch the death of your friend? How could that be? How is that possible? That the Torah is telling you to die rather than that? If you have the water, keep the water. Why would you do that? Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're not going to die in a second. Meaning, if they, you know, if the guy drinks the whole water, we'll live for the, whatever, 2 hours it takes to get the water. But if they don't drink any now, they'll die now. But if they can both drink half of it, they can live for another hour. So by letting them live for that other hour,
maybe something will happen.
Right, you can't like,
sorry, what you're really doing is taking. You know what? I'm going to use that later. Okay, give me a second when we get to that. That's a good call over here. I'm sorry. You're watching your friend die anyway, no matter what, right? So what difference does it make if I'm watching him die in an hour from now, if I'm watching him die within the immediate future, whatever it is? So the Chassam Sofer turns this whole thing around and makes it the most amazing thing you've ever heard in your life. I've never seen anything like this. The Chassam Sofer says the whole story, that whole Gemara is all a remez. It's all a hint. It's a mushel. It's all a mushel. Listen to the mushel over here. The flask of water that we're referring to over here is you and your friend has no money to his name. You've got a bank account with $1,000 in it. The flask of water is money in the bank. Your friend has no money. Now here's the question. If it's permitted to lend your friend with interest, if he could lend with your friend with interest, then he could give his friend the money, let his friend do business with it, and it won't make that much of a difference, whatever happens. If he gives his friend some profit, then he'll make back the money and he gets the interest anyway. Everything would, both of them would drink from it, so to speak, and both of them would live. Everybody would get something from it. Everything's all good. But unfortunately, there's the custom that he can't do interest, which means most people would not want to give up their hard-earned money to their friend when they're not making any money off it at all. They're not even guaranteed that the guy's going to be able to pay him back. So if there was interest and he's guaranteed something, okay, he'll give it to him because he's making money off the deal. It's a business deal. If he's not making any money off it, he's just expected to give his money to his friend. Well, the question is, are people really going to do it? Well, what he could do is he could give it the Torah Iska. What does Bitoras Iska mean? Give it to your friend as a business transaction. If he profits, you both profit. And if he loses, then you both lose. That's called Bitoras Iska. You have to sign up a star for it. But either way, it's not ribbis. Ribbis is, I'm lending you $100. I expect $120 back, whether you make money or you don't make money. I want my $120 back. That's ribbis. That's what ribbis is. Iska is, it's a business. I'm giving you $100. If you make $120, I want my $100 back and $10 back on top of it. And if you go down to $80, then I lose just like you lose. I'll get my $80 back, but I'm not going to take back the extra money. You're right. But regardless, the idea behind the Hatariska is what it's supposed to be. Now here's the choice over here. Now there's a choice. They could both die together and both lose out on the deal if his friend's deal goes sour, or his friend alone can die because you won't lend him the money. Are you required to lend money to your friend through a Heter Iska in order to make sure that he has enough money to live? Are you required to give up your savings to make sure that someone else will have a business even though you may lose out because of it? That's the question. Then the Torah says you must lend him the money. You have the money, he doesn't. And there's an iska that you could do. You could do a business with him. You could do a deal with him. If you're not using the money yourself, you have savings, you must give the money to your friend. That's how Ben Petur Paskins. You must give it up to your friend. And Rabbi Akiva says, you're not required to do so. You don't have to share the water. If it's your water and your own thing, you're not required to give to your friend anything, right? Because you don't have to go with ribbis, and because you might lose out on money, it's not worth it. You can keep your savings. That's the shot behind the story, the whole muscle, and how we learn it within the context of what ribbis is talking about. That's an amazing... I could take the whole Gemara and turn it into a muscle about ribbis. Yeah.
One is life and death situations, and one can be resolved with tzedakah, like just merely giving him the money.
In other words, giving him money anyway because it's just tzedakah.
One is tzedakah, and it's not really life and death. You can go around town and asking for money to eat or whatever.
Good call. You're right. It's not an exact idea. It's a muscle. That's all it is. It would be a muscle. Is there something wrong with the muscle a little bit? Yes, you're right. There is a definite difference between the two. There's no question behind it. But regardless, the idea is there. The Chiddush HaRim says something even further. I like this as well. Clearly, a person is no gayer to this halacha. If he has a flask of water in his hands, then it's his. And the question is, should I give it to my friend and we'll both die, or should I keep it and I will live? There's no question anybody will paskin on himself, I'm going to keep it and live. Because we're both going to die anyway. So why should we both die when I could live? That doesn't make any sense. But the guy's no gay of a dover because he's talking about himself. You need an impartial judge to talk about this, to try to paskin on this case. Who in the world can be impartial about themselves, about whether or not they should die for his friend again? Who could do that? So Pshat is Rabbi Akiva Lishitasa. Rabbi Akiva holds, and remember, this is a Gemara in Brachos, but I'm sure you've all heard of this at some point. Rabbi Akiva was dying, having his flesh being combed off, and he was saying Shema, and his Talmidim said to him, Rabbi Ad Kan, Rabbi, even now, you're going to have your flesh combed off. And he said, all my life, I've been able to be Mekayim B'kol Levavcha, use all your heart for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'kol Meldecha, use up all of your money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That I've been able to do. But I've never been able to accomplish B'kol Nafshecha, to give up my life for God. I've never been able to do it. I've always wanted to give up my life for God, but I've never been able to do it. Because my life, said Rabbi Akiva, and this is the addition that we're adding from the Chiddush HaRim, my life is only for God. I live only for Him. My own personal life doesn't matter to me. It's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. What He wants me to do, I'll do. That's what B'chol Nafshecha is. So Rabbi Akiva holds that his life is not worth it when God wants him to do something. So meaning, he could paskin in this case. He's not nogei of a dover. Because he doesn't care about himself. Because he holds so strongly that I would be willing to give up my life for God, that he would be willing to give the half of the water to his friend, even though they'll both die. He could do it. He was saying about himself, I know that my life is not worth it. If God tells me to give up half the water to somebody else, even though it makes no sense, and I'm going to die, I would do it. And therefore I can paskin that you don't do it. That you should keep it for yourself and live. He wasn't nogea. He wasn't bribed by himself. He wasn't convinced that he was right. That's an unreal idea that he says.
Yeah. Is it usher for him to give it?
That's the question.
No, I'm saying that. So if he would give it,
yeah.
And you're saying that you shouldn't give it, and he was only for it, he was only for it, but then he's over on his own law.
Granted, but that's why he was able to. I hear what you're saying, but I think that's part of the psak. Meaning, going into psak, he's trying to say, "Am I no gay of a duffer?" The answer is he's not, and therefore the psak would be that you get to keep it. It's not that it's usher to do one or the other. It's that I'm trying to figure out which one, and I might be no gay of a duffer. How could I paskin in this case? I'm not. Once I'm not, then I could paskin in this. That's the idea behind it. Yeah.
He's paskining that anyone should keep it for himself and not give it, or only someone who...
That's a good question. Going to that Chiddush HaRim, it would only be somebody like Rabbi Akiva.
And in that case,
that's a good question. That would be a good question. And that really leads in, that segues into our the last thing on this subject, which really, Binyamin, you mentioned before. The Rambam does not paskin in this halacha. This does not make it into the realm of the Rambam. Meaning, if you have two guys that are walking in the street in a desert and they don't know what to do, etc., the Rambam doesn't paskin in that case. Why doesn't the Rambam paskin in that case? Why doesn't the Rambam say anything? It must be that there's something wrong. Either it's the idea that you mentioned before, that there's something a little bit wrong. How does that work exactly? That you know you're going to live for an hour, you know you're going to live for 2 hours. How does that work exactly? How in the world do you know you're not going to get to water for 2 hours? And then you also, the way you're understanding it, there's something wrong with how we're looking at this halacha. According to Rabbi Akiva, according to this Chiddush HaRim, only a person who is perfect can paskin this way, like Rabbi Akiva. Nobody else can. Okay, we're going to go on to something else as well. If you noticed, the Chai Imach is in the first pasuk. The Chei Achicha Imach is in the second pasuk. What's the difference between the word Chai and Chei? Now, I'll give you an example. Chai Hashem Tzvakos. It says Chai Hashem. It doesn't say the word Chei Hashem. Now, I don't know too many places that actually say the word Chei, where Chei comes in with a theory. I'm sorry? Chei Paro, by the life of Paro, that's good.
The person afterwards?
I'm sorry? So, Lav Davka, the way that the Meshech Chachma understands it, the Meir Simcha of Divinz, the way he understands it, is that when it's Chai with a Patach, with a little line underneath, right? If you have that Patach, it means we're referring to the actual thing itself. Whatever we're talking about is the essence of that thing. So in other words, Chai Hashem Tzvaos is that life embodies HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, better yet, embodies the concept of life. The idea of what life is Chai Hashem Tzvakos. On the other hand, Chai is sort of a little bit off a little bit. It's something that is connected to that guy, but is not the essence of that person. So that's interesting. Chai Paro, I never thought of. Chai Paro, by the life of Paro, that's something that's outside of Paro's realm. If somebody kills Paro, it's not his to take care of. Well, Chai Hashem Tzvakos, there's nothing you can do about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. In that sense, it goes like this. When we're dealing with a ger and a toshav, somebody who is not always, somebody who doesn't have the wherewithal, somebody who wasn't born Jewish and it's harder for him. A ger toshav is somebody who keeps the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach and Eretz Yisrael, but not more than that. And a ger, obviously, who has a hard time going through, then chai imach. You got to mamash keep him alive. You have to do much more than just give him money. You have to give him encouragement. You have to give him some family support, because he doesn't have anybody around him. No one's helping this guy. So you got to give him a full chai, a whole life to be able to help him. This second guy is referring to a Jew. You're not allowed to give rivets to a Jew. So the chay achicha imach. You don't have to support his entire life and his entire lifestyle and everything he has. All you have to do is just give him a little bit of money to help him survive. So it's only chay achicha imach. When it's your brother, all you need is a little bit of chay. You hear that idea from the Meshech Chachma? Chay is a full life. Chay is, you just need a little bit. By somebody who's a ger and a ger toshav, you need a full life for him. Give him everything. By somebody who's a full Jew, you don't need that. Just a little bit is enough. Yes.
If someone goes broke and they're rich, you have to support them to the
that is correct.
Used to. So
that
you don't have to give them everything.
That's still not everything. You don't have to give them the full family support. Bring them into your house if he needs. Do all the other things. You have to give them a little bit more money, but you don't have to do everything. And here, by the ger, we're saying you got to do everything. Absolutely everything there. The Netziv also gives an answer over here, but we'll skip that for right now. All right, there is a machlokus on what it refers to, the Ramban and Rashi, on whether we're referring to a ger tosha or a ger, but I'm going to skip that as well. If you want to see a nice machlokus, it's brought down in Rashi or in the Ramban. What's going to be? Are we talking about a ger and a ger tosha in the pasuk, or are we talking about just a ger tosha in the pasuk? Okay, but either way, the Baal HaTzurim says these words are right next to each other. If you give ribbis, then if you don't give ribbis, I should say, the chayachicha yimach. Says the Baal HaTzurim, learns out from that pasuk, a person who lends with interest has no chelek in Olam Haba. He doesn't get up for tchiyas ha-mason. No tchiyas ha-mason for lending with interest. Now that's an unbelievable Baal HaTzurim. It is based on the Gemara, obviously. But that's there. Shmos Rabbah mentioned in Lamed Aleph Vav as well. The Chidah says, it's Mida Keneged Mida. If you're not allowing your friend to live, you're not giving him life, then you won't get to live in Tchiyas HaMeisim. Your friend was living and is now downtrodden, and you want to give him life, so therefore if you won't give him a new life, you won't be Mechaya, the mace, helping him, because a poor person is considered like he's dead. If you won't do that Tchiyas HaMeisim by him, then you yourself won't get Tchiyas HaMeisim. That's the concept behind it. The Chidah says something else, which is mind-boggling what he says. The Romans approached Rabbi Yeshua, and they asked him two things. Number one, how do you know that there's such a thing as Tchiyas HaMeisim? Number two is Gemara Sanhedrin, by the way, and Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph. Number two, Sadi Amid Beis, I'm sorry. How do you know there's Tchiyas HaMeisim? Number two, how do you know that God knows the future? Now, seemingly, the questions were interrelated. But again, how do you know there's Tchiyas HaMeisim? How do you know that God knows the future? So Rabbi Yeshua said, I can tell you both of them from the same pasuk. I'll tell you the both from the same pasuk. If you have inside on your sheets, it has the following words. Yomer Hashem El Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Hincha Shochev Imavosecha. Behold, you are going to lie down with your fathers. You're going to die. Vekom ha'om hazeh v'zonah. And these people will get up and they are going to sin. God is guaranteeing Moshe Rabbeinu, right now, the people are really good. But after your death, they're going to start to sin. Said Rabbi Yeshua, you can learn both things from this pasuk. The pasuk shots, Vekom ha'om hazeh v'zonah, God is guaranteeing they're going to get up and mess up, is that God knows the future. You see there that God knows the future. He's telling what's going to be in the future. But if you read it in another way, look at this. Behold, you are going to die. They come. And you're going to get up again. That's Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Vikam can be read as the end of the first part of the pasuk, and it can be read as the beginning of the second part of the pasuk. It could be either one. So they said, wait, you got to read it one way or the other. So Rabbi Yeshua said to them, okay, but you got half. one half you got. You got one of the two questions. Whichever way you want to go, you have something from there. So I just answered you with that one puzzle. So listen to this pshat. It's unbelievable. Some people might say, but that's not how you read the Chumash. We don't read the Chumash that way. It's got to be read one way or the other way. Now, the truth is, it's not true. The Pesukim can be read in each Pasuk. It can be read in hundreds of ways. Hundreds of ways. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put nekudos and did not put commas in the Gemara. I once asked my Rebbe years ago why the Gemara doesn't have commas and punctuation and everything else. Like, why not put that in? Because I like putting it in to make it easier for me the second and third time I go around, so I put it in. I'm sorry?
Our version of punctuation doesn't really exist.
Well, whatever it is, why can't you put in at least like a comma or a question mark? They still had something like that. Why not put in something like that? At least a new paragraph or something like that. Why not do it like that? And in that he said, because no one can tell you how to read the Gemara. You should be able to figure out how to read the Gemara yourself. And maybe, I didn't say they're wrong. Maybe they have one pshat, but you can come up with an entirely different pshat by reading it in a totally different way. Totally different way. Now, I know Tovia is arguing with me, those blue Gemaras with the little Nekudos everywhere, and I know Art School argued with me because they just made the Mikras Gedolos with everything Nekuda, you know, with Nekudos in there, and it's an awesome sefer and it looks awesome and it's much easier when you have it, not a Gemara but the Chumash Mikras Gedolos with commas and question marks and everything and Nekudos everywhere. It's amazing. Yeah, it's an amazing Mikras Gedolos. It's a beautiful thing, right, to be able to go through. But I remember, it's because you work harder when you know you have to do it yourself. You have to figure out yourself what the Gemara is talking about, and you go through whether you like that or not. That's the way it goes. But that's the way the Chumash is. The Chumash has no punctuation. See, you could read the kum as the end of the first part and the beginning of the second part, and it's not a sefer. Both pshatim work. Yes, Adi.
I mean, out of all the errors that makes it fewer has kids, it may seem like, is, I mean, the sense, do you think that it's just their, the chida and the balkan way of saying this is a really bad error?
There's no question. But the question is what the connection is. What is the connection? The midi kenegamida, that's one way. Media can't get media. But hold on, wait, hold on. So I'm still in the middle of this guy over here. You're going to talk about this. Hold on. We know that ribbis is forbidden by food and money. Food and money. How do we know it's forbidden by food and forbidden by food, by the way, it's easy to figure out, right? Because of wheat and whatever it is. Remember the pasuk. The pasuk is, es kaspecha lo sitein b'neshech. You can't give your money as neshech. That's one side. U b'marbis lo sitein achlecha. And in ribis, you can't allow your food to be done. Now look, neshech is written by money. And marbis is written by ochel. But you could read it in the same way. Es kaspecha lo sitein b'neshech u'b'marbis, comma. Right? You could also read it as b'neshech u'b'marbis lo sitein achlecha. Right? That's how you would be able to read it. Says the Chida, the brilliant part behind it is like this. Someone who lends his money with ribbis may claim, there's no problem with me lending with ribbis. You know why? Because the pasuk, when it talks about ribbis, doesn't talk about money. Ribbis is only referring to food. If ribbis doesn't apply to money, then I can lend a person with ribbis because it only talks about neshech with money. That's a different type. Ribbis is only by food. Why? Because look at the pasuk. It says, uven marbis lo sitein achlecha. There is no ribbis there. But that's only because he's not putting the comma in the right place.
Yeah, but
neshech goes there. Neshech is a different thing, though. It's different from regular ribbis where I give you $100 and I expect $120 back. Neshech is different. So we might think that ribbis is mutter in this way. It's a different... not for now. It's a little complicated. But maybe you'll put the comma in there and he'll say, but ribbis doesn't apply in that way. To that we say, for such a person, if you hold that way, then you have no proof that there's chias and mason. Because you're going to put the comma right before the comma amazet. So you don't have the kum as the end of the verse part of the pasuk. So if you hold there's a comma in the middle of the pasuk of ribbis, and therefore I can lend money with ribbis, then you hold that there's no such thing as tchias
amesa. You can say the same thing in reverse. People like, oh, that say the comma goes after that. You can say, well, then to you there's no proof that Shem knows the future.
No, it would be both. You know what I'm saying? If you read it in the opposite way of how the pasuk should be read, there's for sure the pashup shot in the pasuk, and this is the idea of adding on another pshat to the pasuk. So if the guy who says that it's become that there's tchias amesim over here is also agreeing that it's also become amazet. He's not arguing on that. That's clearly what the pasuk says. He's saying it's both. The guy who puts it in the pasuk right there and says no, become amazet, is only learning one, not the other. Okay, there's a couple of things over here. It's clear from this pasuk that you're not allowed to lend a Jew with interest, but you could with a non-Jew. Why are you allowed to lend a non-Jew with interest? What's the pshat? Why is that allowed? In other words, there's a hatter. We're all of a sudden matering something for you, and we're saying that that's okay. By the way, as an end, Edward, Eddie, I didn't fully answer your question. There is a chasam sofer that answers it, and I have it down over here. It's dealing with the branches of a tree, etc. It's an amazing mussel as well, but I have no time, so we're not going to be able to do it. But I'm sorry? There's no question. It's a gzerat hakasuv. Is there a svara as to why you can lend to a goy with ribbis? Why is that allowed to lend to a goy with ribbis? So the Kli Yakar says a svara, and I think it's a brilliant svara. What's the problem with ribbis? What's the issue with ribbis? He says it's felt in bitachon. It's an issue of trust in God. Why is it an issue of trust in God? What's the issue? What's the problem with the trust or the lack of trust in a Kaddish Baruch Hu? What's the issue with it? Well, it's like this. If I lend money to a person and I don't get any interest back, right? $100 and I get $100 back. I'm not guaranteed a profit. I'm not guaranteed to ever get the money back. Who knows what's going to be? When I do business with the $100, I'm not guaranteed the business is going to go well. Maybe the business will go sour and I'll end up losing out. $100 that I put out into business, it's a possibility I'm never going to see it ever again. $100 being lent with ribbis, especially when you have a collateral or when you have somebody else co-signing on the loan to get you back $120, is one of the easiest ways to make money. It's one of the easiest ways to make money. You don't really have to work for anything. You just get the money back. I lent with $100. I am getting $120 back. I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. There's no absolute bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing to daven for. It's automatic. I'm getting my $120 back, whether from him or from the collateral or from the co-signer. I'm getting my $120 back. While by business, you want your business to go well, you better daven. You want to make sure that you do, that the guy is going to do something for you. I'm not making any money off it. I just want my money back. You're going to daven. But ribbis is so easy. Ribbis is so easy. But by non-Jews, you weren't guaranteed to get the money back at all.
Why? Was it collateral as opposed to the same thing?
For some reason, it happened quite a bit back in the day, and I think it might be a little bit different now, but it was quite different back in the day where non-Jews would purposely borrow money from Jews with collaterals, with everything else, and then take it back.
Right, but that was when the Jews went to Eretz Yisrael, they were their own sovereign, so they had the power.
The Kli Yakar is speaking, let's think of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is speaking from Europe.
No, I understand.
Speaking from Europe. 100%, but he's saying that that's the idea. That since there's a lack of bitachon by a Jew lending him with ribbis, because you're guaranteed money back, but by a non-Jew, it's not a lack of bitachon. You still have to daven that you'll get your money back. You have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the non-Jew is going to give you your money back. Therefore, you can lend it with ribbis. There's no issue of bitachon because you'll still daven. That's the idea behind it. What's up, David?
It's not so hard to understand that, because if a Jew, who's obviously, you're not just going to lend it to somebody who's known to be a thief.
Correct.
So you automatically, he's going to be trying to pay you back. So if something doesn't work out, it's because Hashem didn't want it to anyway. So because of that, therefore, it's like an added aspect of
bitachon. Honestly, we say, but by a regular Jew or by a non-Jew?
By a Jew.
Even by a Jew, you're saying there's an issue.
No, I'm saying by a Jew, we don't have an issue because you have bitachon in Hashem by assuming that the Jew is going to pay.
But you don't have. Got it. But by a non-Jew.
By a non-Jew, he's not necessarily a honest non-Jew.
Okay, that's the concept. That's the concept. How have I that every Jew is that way? I'm sorry.
Why is that more reason to be talking about pay back? Meaning, like, you should know that that
here. The Gavin. The Gavin, yeah, what's up?
The problem with Kiel Kli Yakar, according to a regular Jew, there's no co-signer or collateral, maybe he won't be able to pay you back.
That's the problem.
But
that's not the issue. The issue is that when you have a Jew who you know is going to be in your community, the guy's going to pay you back. You don't have to worry. Yeah, you have Bezdin, you have other people around. Of course something could happen.
He can't pay you back, though. He can't pay you back.
Of course something could happen. But you have people in the community. It's somebody right there. A non-Jew, how are you going to take him to court? What are you worried about? That's the idea behind it. I hear you. When it comes to Jews, you're like wondering. When it comes to non-Jews, I hear what you're saying. But yeah. No, but somebody will. Collateral or a co-signer. But even if you don't have a co-signer, you're in a community. When you're in a community, you know who the guy is, you know where the guy is, you know where he's going to go. You say, look, where's this guy going to go? The concept is at least he's around for you to be able to take care of him. That's the idea behind it. There is another idea that's brought up by the Ketoris some as well, but we won't go into that. Again, it's the same thing, the same basic idea. We're going to end with an Orach Chaim HaKadosh. This is a beautiful Orach Chaim HaKadosh. He says again, to get into this V'cheach Yichayimach, what it means, he says, this whole pasuk is referring to something else entirely. There is a concept called Sod HaIber. Now, you've all heard of Gilgulim. And although Gilgulim doesn't work in the same way that the Hindus believe in reincarnation, where you come up and you're going to be a duck in the next world or a cockroach in the next world. I don't know if anybody remembers Joe the Barber, who was on Divan. Remember Joe the Barber, right? Joe was the best. So he knew more halachos than 99% of Jews. So he...
You lent him money without...
I probably would not. I would have the tachon in Hashem. Either way, so he... Joe the Barber used to live... He used to have his barbershop on the other side of California on Divan. Meaning on the more Indian side on Divan. He moved later on, but he used to have it on the eastern side, all the way like two or three blocks down. So at one point he was moving, so somebody asked him why. I never heard this directly from Joe, although I did go to Joe a couple times. I never heard it directly from him, but the person asked him why he moved, and he said, well, we had a massive cockroach problem, and there were huge cockroaches, and they were all over the place, and I wanted to fumigate them and I wanted to get rid of them. And the owner of the whole apartment building that he was under, he was in the bottom of a big apartment building, refused to do it because he thought that the cockroaches might be his relatives that were reincarnated, right, as cockroaches, which is nice to say about any mother-in-law, right? And those were there, so he couldn't kill them. He couldn't fumigate them because that's Uncle Larry. I mean, who wants to kill Uncle Larry? It's right there. So we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that. But there is a concept called Gilgulim. Now, Gilgulim is a complicated concept in and of itself, and I can't tell you everything because I'm not 40 yet, but so Iber, which is brought down by the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bachai, in a couple places, is the idea where a person is living his life. You have a regular, everything's normal. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows you're going to do a certain mitzvah, a certain act that another tzaddik in a previous generation was not zocha to do. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu is me'aver, so to speak, pregnancy. He brings that neshama, or a chelek of that neshama, a portion of that neshama, adds it on to you, that when you do the mitzvah, and that neshama is added on to you, is ma'aber with you, it's your pregnancy type of neshama, the neshama gets the schus of the mitzvah while you're doing it. Now, unfortunately, it goes the same way. Soda Iber can also work when you do an Avera. But the concept is that when you have a Soda Iber, you have a tremendous tzaddik's neshama along with you. That when you're doing that mitzvah, you should know you have a tremendous schus. There's a great tzaddik, where Moshe finds you, Yaakov Kamenetsky is with you at that moment when you're doing the mitzvah, based on this concept of Soda Iber. So he says the following. He says, this is something in Biyad Hashem, where any tikkun this neshama needs is just done by adding on. And there are two types. There's a ger and a toshav. A ger is, he's sojourning with you. He's with you for just a little bit, and then he goes back up to Shemayim. And a toshav, where he stays with you for quite a while, where the neshama is with you for quite a bit. Both should be chayimach. You should help them out and allow that mitzvah to be done so that they both get it. Your job is to add chiyus. Add it so that it becomes like your brother, chayachichayimach. So that it's added on so it's mamish like you. It's no longer a ger and a toshav. It's mamish a part of you. That's when it becomes chayachichayimach. During that time, although you don't know what's happening, you have to be careful not to do neshech Visarbis. What is Neshech and Sarbis? Neshech is obviously a bite. It's a bite of your taiva that wants you to do something terrible. When the taiva gets a hold of you, wants you to do something terrible, because of the soda iber, don't do it. You're going to ruin that neshama. And sarbis is to be marbe, to add on, to do something additional. Don't do something too much, which technically is mutter, but don't eat too much of it. Yeah, chalent. Fine. Don't eat too much of the chalent and make a pig out of yourself. That's the concept of marbis. There's neshech and marbis. Either one of those. Neshech is actually doing an avera, giving into a taiva. Marbis is doing something where it's mutter, but I'm adding on to it to make it a little bit. Don't do neshech or sarbis, and that's the remez behind this entire pasuk, that because of soda iber, you should be more careful with yourself. So what we did today was, we spoke about the warning of what this is, chayachicha imach, that he should be like you in some way, shape, or form. We learned the Gemara Bam Metzia with the two people that are on either side. We spoke about the Chedusha Rim. We spoke about some things over there. We spoke about why it's chay and chay based on the Meshech Chachma. We then went into the Balaturim, that the guy doesn't have tchiyas amesim. The Chidoz idea, we skipped the Chsam Sofer over there. Then we mentioned why Rippus applies by a non-Jew. We mentioned the Kliyakar and Skip with Schwab and the Ktura Samin. And then we mentioned this Orachaim HaKadosh, which explains the remez behind the puzzle of what this could mean. All right, Shkayach, everybody.